Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to Appalachian Intelligence. Glad you guys could join us again for a new episode. We're thankful to have you here. Today, we've got a really, really... Well, first off, your hosts, as always, Justin and Ryan. Producer Lance is here with us. Today, we're jumping into and talking about some more missing persons cases. And we found a couple, well, not actually found them. There were a couple that we came across and had been talking about amongst each other.
We didn't find them.
We did not find the missing people, just to be totally clear on that. But before we get started in the episode, just give y'all just a heads up of what we're talking about. We're talking about a couple more missing persons cases. Before we dive into the show, today's our boy Ryan's birthday. So happy birthday, Ryan.
Birthday, Ryan.
Thank you, brothers.
Lance just landed safely back from a vacation in Orlando. So we're thankful.
I missed you boys last week. Entertaining podcast, but I hate that I wasn't around to ask some questions to Dave and Ryan. I was impressed with your ability to keep yourself composed and ask pointed and directed questions that didn't get answered a couple of times, if we're being totally honest. But I was very, very impressed with your tact.
The part of the Bible, whether you believe that way or not, when it talks about people that have shunned and turned away, those priests were to dust their feet. Don't cast your pearls amongst the swine. So at that point, that guy's, I'd dust my feet.
Just keep it still tactful.
Don't buy his app.
Yeah. Today is also mine and my wife's 15th wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary, Monica. And it's our 25th episode, boys. 25.
The big 25.
Quarter of a century.
A quarter of a century. We're a quarter of the way to 100.
Same age as me.
Yeah, not quite.
15 years ago.
All right, before we get started, you know, we read 5-star reviews, comments that are extremely flattering, we'll say. Some good positive things that we get. We like to give shout-outs on the show to people that do send some positive things our way. As a reminder, please rate and review this show wherever you're listening to. Those reviews and those ratings help out tremendously with the algorithms of people searching for this show. So if you enjoy the content, please do so. Please leave a 5-star rating and a review, and we'll give you a shout out on here. With the latest one, this one comes from Brad Runyon. It says, "Hey, y'all, so glad I found y'all's channel on Spotify. I've been listening to y'all religiously and have almost made it through all the podcasts. I've even played your podcast for my coworkers and they were instantly hooked. Great to finally find y'all's YouTube channel, though. Please keep doing what you do because I can really see this podcast going places. Sincerely, Brad Runyon from East Tennessee." So, Brad.
Hey, Brad, my man.
Another Appalachian boy. We appreciate it, man. We appreciate the love. We appreciate the support. And more than anything, we appreciate you sharing the show with your coworkers. I mean, share it. Share it like a virus. I mean, that's the best.
That's like COVID.
Guerrilla marketing.
Yeah. No, honestly, man, that's the best way. That's really the biggest way that this show will grow. If each person out there listening to this shares this with one other person, and then that person shares it with one other person, and that person shares it with one other person, we're growing. Like I've said before on here, our circle's only so big. So share the show, guys. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the support. We really do appreciate it. Again, this is a big day. This is anniversary, birthday, 25th episode. Let's dive in. I am jacked up and excited for this one.
You're going to go with the mind-blowing one last, right?
Yeah, we're going to do that one last, which, I mean, they're both pretty mind-blowing. I'll have to say.
Yeah.
They're both pretty mind-blowing.
The first one we're going to talk about, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And we've done, if any listeners out there have followed the show, we've done a couple missing persons episodes before. And it just so happens there's a lot of people that go missing. And
everybody keeps going on missing.
It just keeps going missing and not being found.
Yeah. Yeah. So as long as
very weird circumstance.
Extremely unusual.
It's crazy.
And as long as that's happening.
Right, like we know we talk about crazy. Like it's crazy. This is really weird.
Yeah. It is. It is. We talk a lot of crazy.
Is there an echo in here again?
Somebody say crazy again. Crazy.
Crazy.
All right. So I'm going to dive into this first one. I'm not sure if it says it in the article. This one actually is covered by David Pilatus in his Missing 411 series.
Yes.
David Pilatus, for those of you that don't know, David Pilatus is, I don't know
what's going on.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm not moved.
I don't know what that is.
No way it's me.
Clock.
I don't know. Anyway.
We'll find out real quick. Hang on. I know.
Yep. It's you, Lance. Me? You're the culprit.
It's not doing it now.
Nope.
All right.
Anyway, we've talked about David Pilatus before in our Missing 411 episode. I think it was actually the third episode that we ever did. It was a lot of fun. David Pilatus spent so much time and so much effort into researching and tracking and gathering information and data based on missing people. He has all these different criteria that, it has to fit to be in this missing 411 category. We talked a lot of it. For more information on that, go check out episode 3 of Appalachian Intelligence, Missing 411. This case is included in his Missing 411 series. So I found an article based on this case. It was written by Brent Swanser on mysteriousuniverse.org. So I'm just going to read the article because it's a pretty good one. I feel like it's got all the details. So we'll read it and talk about it. It starts out, says, "The day of January the 25th, 2002 started off just like any other for 20-year-old Christopher Tompkins. He got up, said goodbye to his mother, who he lived with, and left for his job as a surveyor at 8:10 a.m. that morning. Tompkins met up with the other three members of his four-man surveyor team and went about their daily routine of survey work at an expanse of lightly wooded area off County Line Road near Highway 85 in Ellerslie, Georgia. The team moved as a unit, each man spaced 50 feet apart in line as they worked their way in the same direction through the forest. Tompkins, who was the last in line, was keeping regular communications with the others, and he and the man in front of him were within eyesight of each other. At one point, the surveyor in front glanced back toward Tompkins, who had just been talking to him moments before, to find he was suddenly and inexplicably gone. It didn't make any sense because the man had just been there several seconds before, but now there was nothing and nowhere he could have gone without being seen. The surveyor called the others and they searched the area, but what they found only made it all even weirder. Nearby was one of Christopher's work boots hanging from a barbed wire fence that stretched through the area with no sign of the other boot. In a patch of grass next to the boot were his work tools, a blue fiber from his work pants, and 12 cents. That was it. And it seemed as if Christopher Tompkins had simply blinked out of existence. It would not be until 1 p.m., around 4 hours after the disappearance, that one of the other surveyors would finally call their boss to say that Christopher had vanished. And oddly enough, the missing man's own mother was not told about the incident until 4:15 p.m. Even then, she was informed that they had to wait 24 hours for the police to do anything. And when the authorities finally stepped in, they were not able to find any additional clues as to what had happened to him. A more intensive search was launched, but nothing was turned up until months later when the missing work boot was bizarrely found by chance on the private property of a man who lived 900 yards from where Christopher had gone missing. So, it goes on to say that this is covered, that it received a lot of mainstream attention when it happened, that it was covered by David Politis in the Missing 411 series. And obviously, you know, one of the first theories out there were that the surveyors had something to do with it, you know, because they waited 4 hours to report anything and do something, you know, all that, all those details coming along with it. But that theory kind of got squashed right off the bat because, you know, all the guys were pretty credible. They were all credible in their stories. You know, everything matched up. I'm not sure. You know, I know a lot of times in these cases, polygraph tests are taken and all these, you know, police investigations are done. But I don't think anything was ever found on that end of it. So you have a guy with a part of a four-man surveyor team that's 50 feet behind the next guy in line and just seconds before is there, seen, and then poof, gone. Nothing left but a work boot, some tools, a blue fiber from his pants, and 12 cents. So, figure it out, detectives. What happened?
How much was the toll to cross the river in hell?
I think it's 6 pence.
How much is a pence?
6 pence is, I don't know.
They're a band, 6 pence, none the richer.
Definitely make up what 6 pence is, but I'm not sure.
We just make it up. We're not going to know any different.
It's 12 cents, I guarantee it.
We'll get a comment from somebody saying, no, actually 6 pence is we'll get it figured out.
Thank you. That's how we learn.
But no, that is a case. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Okay. For logic's sake, let's say that these other surveyors, whatever, did have a beef with this guy and did something and got rid of him. The way I understand reading this and listening to it, it's a pretty wide open expanse. You've got a barbed wire fence, which means somebody's property is around. This guy's other boot is found, it says, at a neighbor that's only 900 yards away. Now, I mean, yeah, 900 yards is still a pretty good ways, but I just, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to think that a full police investigation was done. These guys were questioned and nothing comes up out of it. Nothing turns up.
That was my first initial thought was obviously these other guys have something to do with it.
Right.
But for all three of them, either were really good at keeping their story straight. We think most of the time, most police investigations, how they go, right? Once one of them kind of alters a story in some way, then they start pitting them against each other, and eventually the truth comes out, right? It's funny how those things go. But for all three of them to either they're one very good at keeping their story straight or had took the time to make sure that everything was kosher within the three of them's dialogue of what happened, that it didn't change, which I think is very unlikely. Or there's obviously the second part, and then they had nothing to do with it, and something crazy echo has happened. Again, as you were first reading through this, I thought to myself, all right, these other three surveyors lost a bet or owed him some money or messed around with one of their wives or whatever, or girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever the case may have been. And they've collaborated together to come up with a way to get rid of this guy and make this thing look crazy, but like something kind of supernatural had happened. But I think it would be very difficult after a full police investigation, after all the stuff that went on, detectives in there, as much media as it got, and quite a bit. I think it was unusual that those stories never changed, right? In that there's no explanation from the police side of it. So that tells me something else obviously has taken place. And sixpence is 46 cents in American money today. Side note.
And I may totally be wrong about how much it costs to cross the River Styx too. Sixpence was just the first thing that popped up in my brain. So I don't know. But no, I'm with you, Lance. I'm with you on that. And that's the very first thing that I thought, you know, with this, when I started reading about it too and listening to it. And it still possibly could be. I'm not saying that, you know, that's for sure. We have to take that off the table because, you know, it could have been. They could have had something to do with it. And, you know, the dude goes missing. They try to make it look like just something crazy.
Is there anything in the story where all four of those surveyors, were they from the same area?
I don't think
just colleagues that wouldn't outside of work.
Nothing that I've seen or read really says anything about, you know, all that other stuff. The only thing that they said was after an initial investigation and the other surveyors having no motive. So, you know, it shows there that according to them, there was no motive behind. There were people along the job site, I think, that they talked to that said that he had been acting strange leading up to that. But his mother said that, you know, he was just the same guy. You know, he lived with her. And she said that she hadn't noticed any changes, any kind of, you know, nothing at all.
Right. If something happened to you like this, I could begin to think back on, you can kind of begin to project that maybe some strange things was happening. You know, I wouldn't think. Yeah. You would start looking for things you thought that may be unusual, and they weren't probably, but you kind of make them think that they are, I guess.
Well, you somebody just mysteriously vanishes. You're going to start trying to throw every possible thing that you can think of in there to explain it away.
Yeah, and especially somebody that you would at least somewhat know. Like these guys are working together to a certain degree, so they're going to know each other a little bit, right? They're not just complete and total strangers. So you're going to kind of come up with things that help explain, especially if you're one of the three guys that was. I was thinking about this. If I was one of those other three guys that were standing there within earshot and eyeshot of this guy, and then like you turn around and all these things have happened, his clothes are thrown about, there's only certain portions of his clothing left, and he's nowhere to be found. You didn't hear or see anything. it'd be a pretty eerie circumstances to kind of get over or think about or even talk about. Like, you know, these guys probably aren't rolling up into the woods now like they used to, probably looking around what in the world's happening.
Yeah.
Vampires.
Portal Sasquatch.
Could be Quantum Bigfoot. Oh. Well, never mind. That's later. It could be Quantum Bigfoot. Look, that's the thing, man. And that's why so many people want to write David Pilatus off as, you know, a quack or a nut job, because he attends a lot of these different conferences, you know, member of MUFON, these Bigfoot conferences and all. But the thing about David Pilatus, he will never come forward and say, okay, this is my specific theory of what happened. This is it. You know, I've studied it, investigated it. He doesn't do that. He just says, okay, what if? These are the possibilities. There's no other physical, natural thing that we can find happen to him. And this is kind of off the subject, but I was watching him talk about a guy the other day that showed up and climbed this big mountain. I don't even remember where it was, but it's solid granite. You know, and they say in a lot of these cases, there's a lot of granite in the area where these people go missing. I have no idea what that has to do with anything, but this entire mountain was granite. Well, the dude goes up, it's like on Memorial Day weekend. The guy goes up and climbs it, has done it 1,000 times before. And it's not like a full rock climb. There's a trail with a chain link banister beside of it. And people saw his truck. They saw him there. They saw him start the summit, and then he just vanishes, gone completely. His truck never moves. None of his belongings out of his truck move. He's just gone. Like, that's the one. Like, how does that happen? Especially in this day and age with cameras the way they are, CCTV cameras everywhere. Everybody has a phone. Everybody, you know, there's so many people. And when these missing persons go forward, their pictures plastered everywhere. And the majority of the time, these people, their vehicles are still there. They're said to just be missing on foot. Like, how does that happen? How do people just get somewhere a long way away on foot? That was one of the theories in this Christian, or what was his name? Christopher Tompkins case. That was one of the theories in it, was that he just wanted to step away from his job, his home life, whatever, and start a new life. Okay, so he just, you know, just walked off the job and left. Okay, I mean, yeah, you could say that if he was working on a piece of equipment or off doing something else, you know, hundreds of yards away, and then nobody can find him. That's a different story. But you're talking four dudes that are working in a line, in tandem, 50 feet apart in wide open spaces. And you look back, check on a guy, and mere seconds later, he's completely gone. Like,
logically, you think, right? Let's go to a logical. Obviously, there's not a logical explanation for this that we wouldn't be talking about. But you just try to put at least somewhat of a left brain logical spin on it. If something like that happens, us three are in the woods working in tandem, doing whatever. Who knows what we'd be doing? And like, we turn around and Ryan's gone.
Would you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby?
There's some stuff laying around. His clothes, walk over and find an empty gummy packet in his pocket and 15 cents. Like, we automatically say an animal has grabbed him, right? A bear has got him. Something, but even then, we would have heard that, right? We're gonna hear him scream, hear him holler for help, hear rustling around. There's gonna be a ton of noise that's going to be involved with that as well. Just, you know, just him screaming the first time he gets grabbed. You know, we're gonna be able to, but be nothing at all. That's almost like the earth just opened up and just guy just swallowed him, right? Or a portal opened up and it left away some of his clothes. But that was another interesting point of the story. It's like, well, a couple of random articles of clothing and stuff that was left around. Like, where's everything else at? Like, why was it just a boot? And why was there pants and 12 cents in it? And why was there? And there's a whole just a weird array of things that were left over that seems like he was just snatched, right? And that's what was left over. It was whatever that was the loosest thing on him. So that's what fell off.
Okay. Well, think about this just for a second. And just like you said, if it was something that attacked this guy, you know, some kind of wild animal or even let's say Bigfoot or UFOs or whatever, these other three guys are going to see or hear something.
They're going to have some kind of experience.
Yeah. So think about the force that it would take. Okay. This is just me personally. Now I know everybody's a little different, but the majority of people that I've ever worked with, when you're going onto the job site, especially as a surveyor, who I believe they have inspectors and people that come out and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and wearing the proper PPE, doing all these different things correctly, because you're dealing with landowners, the public, you have a reputation and an image to uphold. So when I go out to work, I lace my boots up pretty tight. I'm making sure everything's in because I know it's going to be a long day on my feet, especially if I'm surveying. You know, before I go on a hike, I'm not just going to slip my boots on untied and decide that I'm going to go walking for a mile through whatever kind of terrain and just go with that. I'm tying them up pretty tight. I'm making sure everything's good to go and I'm hitting it. So, imagine the force. Let's just say this, even if his boots were untied, the force that it would take for somebody to just lose a boot, lose part of their pants, you know, and I know that it said it was on this barbed wire fence, but I mean, none of it adds up. None of it makes any sense.
And for those who say the guy just walked off to start a new life or whatever, we're in the woods and Ryan again decides to walk off. Like, we could just look over and see that he's walking away from us.
Yeah.
Or even if he's running.
Because it's not going to be very fast.
We'd be able to see, like, we would be able to see that happen.
I have two theories. First theory is he hulked and jumped out of there.
Okay.
That would explain the boots and the shredding of the pants.
I like it.
And maybe he lost 12 cents out of a pocket that he tore when his legs hulked out. And he jumped out of there. He's like, shit, I don't have to do this anymore. So he's gone. Second theory, he's where the dragons are.
That's possible.
Also possible, but only you can see it.
And
only you could have that experience. Only you could tell us where the dragons are. Only you can get into that mindset. Only you can see on that spectrum.
I was planning out bills the other day and making payments on everything, and got into my calendar app and looked, and there's a note on June the 12th. Open it up and it says two words, dragons found. And I have no idea why it's there.
And he calls me that night and says, Justin, look, like we just chatted it up for a minute, you know, about life and all this. And then he was like, all right, look, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I really only called you for one real reason. I've got this note marked June the 12th in my calendar that says dragons found. Do you know anything about that? Like, did I talk to you about this at all? And I was like, no, dude, but if you found dragons and you're keeping it from me, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm super pissed.
This is huge. He could be with the dragons. But no, man, I mean, on a serious note, like it's just crazy. It's insane to me. Like, I don't know I mean, Ryan is our usual 100% case solved detective. And if his two best theories are hulking out and he entered the dragon spirit portal, I think
prove me wrong.
Well, we can't. JK, is there anything like other people have offered up explanations that are around this that you've seen?
None.
Like nobody knows.
Nobody knows. The other ones that we've.
The other three just, you know, don't want to go to prison.
That's like the only logical explanation, I think.
Yes. Which is unfair to them if they're telling the truth.
Sure, we're totally judging this guy's character.
Well, you got to
really bad on you guys. I got to be.
Yeah. Honest. I mean, you got to think, though, if it was us, if we're those three guys and somebody that we're with, especially if one of us is like some form of supervisor or whatever, one of these guys just goes missing, just vanishes into thin air. Like everybody wants to comment on, oh, well, they waited 4 hours before they contacted anybody. Well, they probably spent 4 hours freaking out, running around all over the place looking for the dude.
Absolutely. I would hope that you two would spend 4 hours looking for me before you just started calling people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, and then you know that in the back of their mind, they probably even talked about it. Everybody's going to think this was us. They're going to think we killed him.
You know that conversation happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just human nature. That's human nature. I mean,
that doesn't prove, you know, guilt. That's just, you understand how it looks.
Absolutely.
You know, the first thing that people are going to think, somebody goes missing. There's no other explanation there for it. So obviously it has to be that one of us killed him or we all killed him and we're trying to hide it and cover it up. So people can talk about all of these. Well, it was this long between this and this long between that and blah, blah, blah. Look, put yourself in these people's shoes, no pun intended, and think about how you would react, how you would respond. I mean, there's no, look, I'm sure as a surveying crew, there is no procedure for exactly what to do when somebody vanishes into thin air. Probably no procedure for that. There's probably first aid and all these different things that snake you go through bites. Training. Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Animal attacks, snake bites, falls.
Vanishings probably aren't covered.
Cantankerous old man's land.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That
you was... Utah kids. Get out of my yard.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe some cantankerous old man just came and snatched him.
It's one quick old guy.
He was yelling
up rascal.
He was yelling at the surveyors. Get off my property. Use kids. He said use. I know he said use. He had a Pittsburgh accent.
Use guys.
Yinzer accent.
Yinz. Yep. So this guy comes down, starts yelling at him. Christian's in the back. He's young. You know, he's arrogant. He's like, hey, look, man, we aren't on your property right now. Your property's on the other side of that barbed wire fence. This dude says, huh? What was that? So he comes a little closer. And he says, your property's on the other side of this barbed wire fence. And the dude's like, I still can't hear you. So the guy gets closer. He snatches him. The old man snatches him by the collar, pulls him across the barbed wire fence, and then just takes off booking it like super speed. Okay. Old man strength speed.
And my Hulk theory was trash. Come on.
That's the best I got, man. That's the best I got. That's as logical as I can get in this.
It's weird. It's super crazy. But what's nuts is it's not even as crazy as what we're about to get into.
No, it's not. And one more thing. One more. That was a really good segue, but gosh, I'm sorry. I got to kill it. I'm sorry. I have to, Ryan. That was a great segue. I promise.
You idiot.
What it makes me think of, if anybody is a fan of Stranger Things, I love Stranger Things. Get away. Yeah. The volume one of season four. I finished it the other day. And the gates that pops up in Stranger Things where the upside down, you know, these gates into the upside down. I'm not going to throw out any spoilers for the audience, but that's what this reminds me of, that there are these gates. Okay. Whatever you want to look at them as, portals, you know, these gateways into other dimensions, possibly, like these people stumble upon these things and then just boom, they're gone. Now, look, I'm not saying that that's legit. I'm not saying that I've ever seen one. I'm not saying that that's factual. I'm saying it's a theory. And in some cases, like this one, I would think that's the only, if these guys are being 100% honest, that's one of the only things that I can think of, is that the earth literally swallowed this guy up, or he walked into some form of gate, portal, whatever, and slipped into a different space and time.
Maybe he's happier now.
Maybe.
No sense poor, so probably not.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of
maybe that's the toll to happiness.
Speaking of Stranger Things, before we segue into the second event here, how in the world does two individuals, Duffer, what the brothers call it, came up with this?
The Duffer brothers?
Duffer brothers. How in the world do you come up with a concept and then tie it together in the way that they did at the end of first volume of season four?
Dude.
Like, I thought I had a pretty good handle on what was going on. And I consider myself a connoisseur of content and try to figure, I think I do a pretty good job of figuring stuff out. I thought I knew, like, when this season's, we saw, I don't want to get, won't get into everything, people haven't watched it yet, but as things were progressing, I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. And then the end happening, I was like, I did not, I had an idea maybe something like that was going to happen, but the way they were able to tie all those loose ends together.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's haven't it's watched Stranger Things. You like this podcast and talking about portals and altered dimensions and shadow monsters and mind flayers and 80s teenage pop culture references and uncomfortable hormones.
I just want to say kudos to Justin for using his analogies with Stranger Things there and saying gateways instead of portals 18 times in a row.
You like that? You like that? I'm talking Watergate, baby.
We thought he was going to say
baby gate.
Look, you can call it what you want to.
And this portal goes back to you, innocent. And before we get into this, this always goes back to you. Always mention this too, Karmic effect, like. Man, I don't see how people come up with some of this stuff. And it not to some degree, like that has to come from somewhere. Like you make this stuff up, right? I get that. But like those ideas, that concept, that world they created, like I know people are super creative and come up with a lot of stuff. Maybe it's just me being so simple minded that I can't fathom the way those people's minds work, but I just feel like that they know something we don't know.
Well, you look at a lot of, and we've said it a lot before on here, you know, and we're going to have to do a full episode just talking cinema and then what has transpired shortly after and how it was kind of a, like you said, a karmic effect to say, okay, we're showing you this. This is what's going to happen. Or we have showed you this, you didn't do anything about it, so it's on you. That's the whole karmic effect, you know, theory out there. But dude, there's so much that, and if you look at it in a way, okay, these guys are just, you know, they're studying string theory, they're studying all the esoteric knowledge, you know, all these, you know, different theories and all. Yeah, I mean, okay, you can put all that together and say, well, they can come up with a good, you know, whatever. But I just think that it's crazy how the most popular things in pop culture are tied to these really fringy topics that you have people like at CERN and with Google. I mean, you just had a dude, a guy that worked for Google, leave the company and come out and publicly say he left because he feels like an AI there is becoming sentient. Okay. That's big. That's huge. Now, the dude may be full of crap. He may have just walked away because it's a bad job, whatever. But you have all these different little fringe topics that people want to say, oh, well, that's not real. That doesn't exist. That's not there. But some really top-notch people in these areas believe that it is real, believe that it is possible. And then you have these branching off into cinema and music and television shows, you know, which I guess that's cinema. But you have all these different things. It's just, I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy for me.
Speaking of
Speaking of what?
Branching off.
Is that another segue? Ryan's really trying to get to this next case.
And as we have said 100 times, where there is smoke, there is usually fire. Like, it's just, there's too many coincidental things that show up and happen, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just crazy. Like, maybe we're just too. We're wrapped up in the weird things that we just see everything, that we perceive things that aren't really there. But I don't know. It's just I'm not saying like Stranger Things is real. I'm not saying those type of things are like 100% real. I just think that the detail and the way in which they're able to lay out a foundation for a story, describe the story, you get characters in the story that you connect with and you can appreciate and then see them move. I understand that. Yeah, that's good. Movies, good storytelling. Yeah, I get that, right? But the concept of those things and the way it tied together and how easily you can kind of see falling into some of that. Like, as I was a huge fan, love the show. As I've watched it and, of course, binged the latest volume of it, I was just like, it just seems a little too.
Spot
right on the precipice of being, maybe there are dimensions that we can get into. I don't know. Anyways, okay.
Before we go on to the next topic, I have to tell Lance, check. Do you have Audible?
Oh yeah, I listen to a ton of books on Audible.
My favorite book in the entire world.
Anyway, if they want to support the show, by all means, Audible, hit us up.
Please, Audible. I love Audible. My favorite book in the entire world by my favorite author, Brom, B-R-O-M. It is Lost Gods. Greatest book for me ever. But, yeah. Okay. It's the greatest book ever. All his books on there, Slewfoot, every one of them. The Child Thief about Peter Pan, his version of Peter Pan. That's one of the tops. He's my favorite author, and his stories, dude. Wait, listen to his stories, and I'm telling you, you're going to be like, "What the crap?" Not only that, is he's an artist, and he does his own artwork. You can go online, look at it, and he paints the characters.
Awesome! I'm fully invested into a fantasy series right now, Brandon Sanderson's Mistborn, that I'll have to finish. When I get it finished up, I'll dive in.
I'm going to change your world.
Speaking of diving in, let's dive into the Jameson family. How about we?
Here, look at him.
Not literally, folks.
Look at him.
Perverts.
Well, that might be stretching it.
Wait, this
one. I wouldn't say that we're not perverts. We're just not diving Just, damn, okay.
This is just how I look.
I can't help the way I'm made.
Okay. So y'all buckle up. This one's crazy. Now, okay, never mind. I'm just going to read it. On October the 8th, 2009, Bobby Jameson, 44, his wife Sherilyn, 40, six-year-old Madison, and their dog Maisie loaded their pickup truck, headed into Oklahoma's Sandboys Mountains, and were never seen alive again. 4 years later, in November 2013, their bodies were found. Okay? So that's just opening up right off the bat. They went missing. 4 years later, they were found. Their bodies were found. The Jamesons lived in the town of Eufaula, Oklahoma. The family traveled 30 miles to an area called Red Oak in the Sandboys Mountain Range because Bobby and Sherilyn were thinking of buying a 40-acre plot of land. The plan was to live in a storage shed that they already owned on the land. Bobby and Sherilyn visited an associate of the landowner, and when the meeting was done, the family packed up and went for a short walk for around 15 minutes, taking their GPS unit, and found a quiet spot on a hillside. After they returned to their vehicle, they drove a little further, and then with the truck left locked in the middle of a dirt track, they vanished. The Sandboys Mountains are a small mountain range in southeastern Oklahoma and part of the larger Ouachita Mountains. It's the frontal belt of the Ouachita Mountains and is located in Haskell and Latimer counties, Oklahoma. Sandboys is a French term meaning, so it's probably Sandbois. Probably Sandbois, not boys. It's B-O-I-S. Said French term. We're going to go with bois. Meaning without forest or without wood in English. Sherilyn's son from a previous relationship, Colton, saw her 2 weeks prior to the family's disappearance, and he said she made no mention of their plans to move to the Sandbois area. A car accident in 2003 involving Bobby had left him with chronic back pain. Sherilyn suffered from bipolar disorder and had been prescribed medication, but since her condition was poorly controlled, she often experienced bouts of severe depression. The marriage was said to be in a bad state, and the family kept to themselves. Bobby and Sherilyn spoke to a local pastor. Now, here's where it starts getting crazy, okay?
Before you get into this, I'm going to go ahead and start.
Okay, yeah. Point.
Right now, just the fact that this bipolar diagnosis, things weren't going good. Medication probably wasn't right. This was well known. I think this is probably an important piece for us to say, okay, we can kind of point back once we hear the rest of this.
Yeah.
Maybe from logical, we can kind of point back to this moment of the story.
Well, now here, this next paragraph is something to really think about, okay? With her mental disorder, was it mental? Was it actually just all of her and the chemical imbalance in her own brain? Or was it some external force
she possessed
was causing these things?
Okay.
Next paragraph.
Right on.
Bobby and Sherilyn spoke to a local pastor about their belief that their home was invaded by dark spirits and that an exorcism might be needed. This was because Madison had started talking to an imaginary friend named Emily, and Sherilyn believed Emily was actually a malevolent entity. At one point, Bobby asked the pastor if he knew of anywhere he could purchase special bullets to shoot a handful of spirits whom he said were living on the roof of his family's home. Bobby was also planning on trying to exorcise the spirits in the home with the help of a copy of the Satanic Bible that he had purchased.
That would probably definitely do it.
A friend of Sherilyn's told the police that she sometimes conducted seances with Sherilyn, though Sherilyn took them much more seriously than she did. Sherilyn had also written graffiti on their storage container about her black cats being poisoned, as she believed that someone from the neighborhood had killed her cats and, quote, witches did not like it when their cats were killed.
Witches get stitches.
That's exactly right. Both friends and family agreed with the Jamesons that their home was haunted, and a few have shared that they, too, experienced odd things inside the house. So we have witnesses along, with the haunting. Nikki Shenold, Sherilyn's best friend, said, "But in all seriousness, that house was haunted. I don't want to sound crazy, but whenever I went there, I felt a horrible presence. I would leave feeling so down and depressed." In July 2009, Sherilyn's ex-husband from her first marriage took custody of their son, Colton, and in September, Sherilyn was hospitalized following a failed suicide attempt. During the custody hearing, 12-year-old Colton said he would prefer to live with his dad, and he gave a statement about his mother claiming that she had seemed, quote, very depressed, and that she often, quote, acted strangely. During their initial absence, none of their friends and family felt any cause for concern. Bobby and Sherilyn were known to fall off the radar from time to time, and Madison had already been pulled out of school. Now, we're getting into the meat of the actual, now all those details before, yeah, they're crazy. But we're getting into the meat of the actual disappearance. On Saturday, October 17th, 2009, hunters on dirt bikes ran across the Jamesons' abandoned truck in Latimer County, northwest of Red Oak, and called police to report the vehicle. Initially, the police assumed the vehicle to have been stolen, as the report suggested the truck to have only been on the roadside for a few hours, though later that day, the same hunter called back to confirm to police that he had seen it there abandoned for a number of days. It was about an hour's drive from the Jamesons' home in Eufaula. The Jameson family was nowhere to be seen despite a large search of the area around the truck. Latimer County Sheriff Israel Beauchamp at first thought the truck had been stolen, but soon realized something far more serious had taken place. He launched a huge search operation and combed the area with over 400 volunteers, horses, mules, ATVs, 16 teams of cadaver dogs, and an unmanned drone. They found nothing. During the searches, the cadaver dog teams repeatedly found scent near a nearby water tower, which was promptly drained, though no evidence concerning the missing family could be found. Police searched the truck and found Bobby and Sherilyn's cell phones, $32,000 in cash, maps, a GPS, Sherilyn's purse, and wallets. In addition, they found the family's thirsty and malnourished dog. The vehicle was in working order, had fuel, and hadn't been in an accident. The $32,000 in cash stuffed under the driver's seat was puzzling, as the family who was on disability benefit at this time. In the truck, investigators found an 11-page hate letter from Sherilyn to Bobby. She said he didn't care about his daughter. She listed all the things she hated about Bobby, including that he was a loner and a hermit, and she wrote that she wanted a divorce. During their initial investigations, the police found no signs of a struggle, either in the vehicle or on the soft ground around the truck. There was no blood and no broken glass, although rubbish was strewn around the truck. Now, 4 years later, on November the 16th, 2013, just 2.7 miles from where the truck was located, deer hunters discovered the skeletal remains of two adults and one child. They were in the Smokestack Hollow area of Panola Mountain. The area was extremely remote, and the three bodies were severely decomposed, and the remains consisted of three skulls, a number of bones and bone fragments, the victim's shoes, and some scraps of clothing. Forensic testing confirmed 8 months later that the remains were, in fact, Bobby, Sherilyn, and Madison Jameson. It had been 4 years since the Jamesons had vanished from the truck. Now, it goes in and talks a lot about the investigations, you know, all the different things that I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Within the initial police investigation, once they found the bodies and said, okay, these people aren't missing anymore, they are deceased, the police found surveillance video footage from outside the Jamesons' home. The video shows Bobby and Sherilyn walking back and forth around 20 times from their house to their truck, loading items in a zombie-like trance. Sometimes they weren't even carrying anything at all. At times, they stopped and stood with a vacant look on their faces. Now, obviously, I could say that they're medicated or there's drug use involved there with that kind of behavior, but nobody really knows. When police checked the phone records of the mobile phone found in the truck, they found it had made an outgoing call to voicemail on November the 12th, though it would have been locked inside the abandoned truck at the time. All right, so an autopsy was done, and then it goes into a bunch of theories on this article. And this article, I don't know. No, there's no author name. It is just on strangeoutdoors.com. So if anybody wants to go check that out. So my take, or not my take on all this, but just kind of a quick recap. This family just decides that they're going to go buy this 40-acre plot of land an hour away from their home that they currently live in, and they're going to live in a storage shed. All right. It's a dysfunctional feel to the family from the get-go. The wife is said to have mental health issues. The husband has, he's suffered a back injury. So he's been in chronic pain for years. The daughter develops this imaginary friend that the mom, the parents believe is actually a malevolent force. They believe the house is haunted. Other witnesses believe the house is haunted. They leave. They show up to this place with $32,000 in cash. Where did that come from? They leave their truck totally abandoned, locked up, all their personal belongings inside, including the dog, and then just completely disappear. And they had just been out with an associate looking over the land not long before all this had happened. They searched. You heard how what a search team they sent after these people.
400 people.
Yeah. What was it exactly? 400 volunteers, horses, mules, ATVs, 16 teams of cadaver dogs, and an unmanned drone.
Pretty much every resource the police office, the police station had, it sounds like, or released most of it.
Yeah. Now, I'm throwing something out there really, really early on, because when I heard about this area, it specifically caught my attention because it said that it was along the southeast corner of Oklahoma. When we talked about the Bigfoot Wars in a previous episode, the Bigfoot Wars happened in LaFleur County, what's known as LaFleur County, Oklahoma, that borders Arkansas. So I went to Google Maps, typed in San Bois Mountains, their relation to LaFleur County, Oklahoma. It's a 30-minute drive. So you're in an area already where there has been extreme intense accounts of Bigfoot. Now, I'm not saying that Bigfoot took these people, but I am saying that they went missing completely. And the way that it sounds like their bodies were found almost 3 miles from where they initially went missing, with skulls and bone fragments and all of these different things, sounds like something mutilated them. Now, there's another detail in there that said that the husband, Bobby, had a small hole in his skull, and that the wife's friend said that she did own a .22 pistol, but it was never found. Not around the bodies, not around the truck, not around anything. So, again, detectives, it's your guys. Let's hear it.
Never found a .22. Just because I wonder how big Bobby was, how big Sherilyn was. Because they never found the gun there doesn't mean he wasn't already dead when they got where they were going. But there were no signs of blood or anything in the truck, were there?
No, there wasn't. There was no signs of any kind of struggle at all, of any kind. And looking at the pictures of the couple, they were both smaller framed type of people. And actually, around the time of the disappearance, a lot of family and friends had thought that they may have been involved in, you know, some substance abuse and all these different things, because they said they just looked frail and thin. And you can watch the video. If you go to this website where this article is, there's a CCTV video of these people, you know, talking about packing their stuff out to their truck. It's creepy. Like, it's creepy. But, yeah, like, it's also the same behavior that you would see from people that are under the influence of certain drugs, or the same kind of behavior that you may see if you go to a mental hospital or a psychiatric ward unit and just watch people move around. Now, look, which, I mean, I am nuts, though. We all know that at this point. There's a lot of times that I'm working around the house or doing whatever, and I have like crazy work ADD, and I'm doing something here for a minute, and then I go here, and then I go out to fix this, but I forgot what I was going to get, so I come back, and sometimes I'm just looking around like, where was I going? What was I doing? But still, I think this looks a little bit different. I don't know. It's just, there's so many details in this case, even tying in all of the, you know, the potential paranormal side or aspect of it. You look at all these different things, and you hear a lot of cases. And that was interesting for me. Okay, we talk about this lady having these mental disorders, you know, the substance abuse coming on, all of these different things. Now, the way that I look at that, you'll see that a whole lot in paranormal cases. And that automatically makes people seem like they're not being truthful, or there are other things that are going on that they're just trying to explain away with supernatural or the paranormal or whatever, when indeed it's choices that they've made. But if you look into the paranormal side of things, if you look into any of that stuff, a lot of times these entities will have some form of influence and start influencing, infesting these families, these people, and guiding or steering them in certain ways, right? You know, we've all heard stories and accounts like that.
Yeah.
We've also heard, we know that it's according to the Catholic Church, before they can do any exorcism at all, before any of the bishops will sign off of it, for the priest to be able to do these things, they have to, the client, the person that is claimed to be possessed or oppressed or whatever, has to have a psychiatric evaluation. They have to. Like, they rule out mental health issues right off the bat before they do anything else. So to me, it's one of those, it's a two-way street. Like, were the substance abuse and mental disorders there before the paranormal activity started, and that put these people in a negative state, a negative place, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, made them weak enough that they could be influenced by these entities? Or did the hauntings and the paranormal activity and all these things start up initially, and it drove these people to substance abuse and mental health issues? Like, to me, that's a whole angle that you could look at just right there. And it also says, was something leading these people to this place? Like, what was it about this place? Why go here and live in a storage shed?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just some of my thoughts.
I don't know, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. Like, to try to explain away some of the details, or try to come up with at least somewhat logical explanations. I don't know where to start.
No signs of struggle.
Were the bodies that were there, like, they did the autopsy, is there anything in that says that they had aged at all? Or they, like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, the little girl that was there, obviously, over 4 years, her bone structure is just going to change. She's going to grow, what have you. Or the dental records, obviously, they can kind of tell ages and stuff. Were they, the autopsy show they were the age of, they were missing 4 years previously?
The only thing it says about the autopsies were the bodies discovered were so badly decomposed with no soft tissue present, with significant animal predation, that a cause of death could not be determined. A hole that potentially could be a bullet hole was discovered in Bobby's skull, but this could have been caused by animal activity as well.
So more than likely they were dead very closely to around the time they were missing.
Yeah.
Just thinking, were they out there for 2 years, wherever, and then they showed up and then it was 2 years. You know what I'm saying? I was wondering if there was a way, or if they had done some type of crime scene investigation or autopsy work that showed that they were older. You know, you I see the angle I'm coming, but obviously not. It's that badly decayed.
Well, I think it's one of those things that you can't tell for sure because it was so badly decayed and decomposed that you can't say for sure that they didn't. And there's even just this article alone has like 10 different theories about what could have possibly happened.
Give us two of them.
Well, I'll give you all of them. I just won't read into everything. I mean, some of them you need details to try to figure it out, but
where'd it go, Lance?
Lost in the woods, obviously. Okay. They went hiking, they got lost.
Sure.
You know,
but turn around. Explain the dogs not being able to get their scent.
Right. But, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Murder, suicide.
Sure. That was my first thought.
Right. The Jamesons were members of a satanic cult, because, you know, obviously if something bad goes wrong, we have to go satanic panic.
He was using the book of Satan to get rid of the evil.
He was using the book of Satan. I forgot about that detail.
Get rid of the evil.
You're correct. Yeah. I forgot about that detail.
Wait a minute.
Well, let's read. Let's
the things we've talked about in the last 25 episodes. That one made me go, huh?
Okay, we'll read a little bit on that one. Sherilyn's mother, Connie Cocotan, claims her daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter were on an Oklahoma cult hit list. That part of Oklahoma is known for that. Oh, I'm sorry, this is quoted. That part of Oklahoma is known for that, cults and stuff like that. From what I've been told and from what I've read, I was told around the time of Sherilyn's disappearance that she was on a cult's hit list. Connie didn't provide the name of the alleged cult, nor have police found any links to one. So I guess that's the only detail there, was he was trying to use the Satanic Bible to rid the home of evil spirits. I'm going to call on Satan to get rid of his minions.
Yeah. I'll hit him with what they don't expect.
That's exactly right. Hey, Satan, bro, could you tell your boys to back off a little bit? Because they're a
first psychology on the deal.
Fire with fire, I guess.
They're really freaking me out. And Madison's got this weird imaginary friend now that we're having to buy Happy Meals and McDonald's and stuff. It's getting really expensive. So if you could please just tell Azazel and Beelzebub and Baphomet, just beat it, please. I'd greatly appreciate it. Okay. Here is one that I feel like is probably the most logical. Okay. All right.
Portal.
You said portal, not me. A drug deal went terribly wrong.
Yes.
All right. Now I'm going to read about this. Number, we've talked about all the substance abuse and all these different things. The $32,000 in cash.
When I saw that too, my other thought was, they've been peddling.
And yeah. Dealing. So in this, it says the area of Oklahoma where the Jameson family lived, as well as the area they were hoping to move to in the San Juan Mountains, is well known for its drug activity, namely meth labs involving the drug methamphetamine. Bobby had recently reported someone in the local area for running one. So it might have been a drug war. In the surveillance video where Bobby and Sherilyn were seen packing their truck in a trance-like state, the two also looked thin, gaunt, and unwell. Drugs would also explain the large sum of money found in the Jamesons' truck. Drug abuse could also explain the couple's erratic behavior. One theory is that the Jamesons came upon illegal drug activity, saw more than they were supposed to, and were killed to keep them quiet. But why didn't the dealer search the truck and take the valuables?
Oh, they were involved in something and got offed.
But, now listen to this, but after a search of the house, police found no evidence that they were taking meth or any other illegal substances. There was no drug-related paraphernalia on the persons, in the truck, or in the house.
I'm trying to get out.
Possibly.
$30 payoff or something they for a debt they'd owed for stuff, or a $35,000 payoff, and said, maybe we only got $32. Let's take it and see what happens. They get to the store, meet them there. Let's go out here in the woods and talk about it.
But they would have taken the money.
Well, what if it was one of those?
We parked the truck. $70,000 there, and they took $35 of it, or $38, whatever it was, and left the rest of it just because.
You got to think about it like this too. Okay. What if you see these people parked that you're supposed to meet, you know, way off ahead, nobody parked side by side. We got to make this dramatic and cinematic. So we park here, they park across this field. We're going out to meet them. It's one of those, okay, you have the drugs, or do you have this, or you have whatever? Yeah, we've got the cash. Well, I need to see the cash first. No, I need to see the product first. Sure. No, I want to see the cash first. Well, the cash is back in the truck. You're not seeing it until I see the product. If something was to get heated, then somebody loses it, tempers flare, boom. Then we got to get rid of a whole family. I mean,
Wasn't that an episode of Sopranos?
Yeah, that's where you think I got it.
Most of the episodes of Sopranos.
Where do you think I get this stuff, man? Breaking Bad and The Sopranos. I don't know, dude. It's still, though, yeah. It's not something that after full investigations have been done that can be locked down.
How many drug murders have there been that nobody's been credited?
Well, I just don't see them leaving $32,000.
That's a lot of money for a family that doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
And their dog, man. Their dog. Who goes on a hike?
Yes, that tells me they're just going to plan on coming back. Like,
well, all their stuff is there. Yeah, everything.
They don't plan on being gone for very long.
Yeah. GPS, maps, their money, the dog, real quick, their phones, their wallets.
Or maybe they were meeting to buy the drugs and tried to steal the drugs and got shot because of it.
Maybe. Also, some more of the theories, and some of it goes on. Bobby's dad killed the family. Okay. Apparently, there had been a temper's flare between Bobby's family and Bobby's dad. And a restraining order was placed against Bobby's dad at some point. I mean, the family, and not trying to sound disrespectful or anything, but just looking at the details, it doesn't seem very functional, like all the way around, you know, immediate family and extended family. Doesn't seem very functional. All right. But regardless of functionality status in society, where you rank in the class system, still, three people went missing. All these details that are involved are super weird. They're just weird. and none of them really add up or tie in together. Like you keep thinking that something's going to tie in and be okay, an aha moment, and it just never shows up. And then they send out this massive search party in Oklahoma. Now, I know we're talking about mountains, but.
And how long was the time frame from them going missing to them sending the search party up?
Well, that was 2 days. The hunter said it was a couple of days that he seen the truck, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a few days. They stumbled upon the truck and thought it was stolen and reported it.
Coyotes cleaning up a couple bodies that were dead. Carcasses that were there, laying there.
Well, I mean.
You got 4 years worth of decay and.
Well, I'm just saying, even from the moment that, let's say, hypothetically speaking here, they got shot. They were killed. Put somewhere to the left because the people would know that. I mean, how quickly would a pack of coyotes come in or scavengers of any type come in and pick those bodies clean to the point that there was no trace of anything? That would happen. I know we recently killed a calf that was sickly and took it over a pretty good piece away where we do some coyote hunting at to throw out to try to get him closer. And within 2 days, it was gone. I couldn't even tell where I threw it at.
Yeah.
And that's why Bigfoot bodies are never found.
Sure. I mean, I agree completely. If there's Bigfoot, then there's always, why do you never see a Bigfoot carcass? Why do you never see a Bigfoot carcass? I mean, because you never see a bear carcass or a deer carcass out like in the woods either. The only deer carcasses you see, the ones been hit inside the road. Because, I mean, that's the way nature works. Scavengers come in and clean that thing up quickly.
The only thing.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead.
I was actually thinking where they were talking about like small hole. I was thinking ravens and stuff getting to that soft gray matter.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I would say that the scavengers and predators, whatever, are going to jump on these bodies almost immediately. I mean, you know that. But still, man, you have almost 400 people. Modes of transportation, 16 teams of cadaver dogs that are being sent out just days after a disappearance. And some of these cadaver dogs, specifically, yeah, they're supposed to find dead bodies, but I'm sure they had, part of these dogs that they're sending out, they track a scent. You open the door of the truck, the animals aren't going to eat the people's clothes. Their clothing is still going to have their scent. I mean,
I agree with you, but on the other end of that, maybe playing devil's advocate a little bit. After 4 or 5 days, good hard couple of storms come through in Oklahoma, an Oklahoma tornado or one of those heavy thunderstorms come through. A lot of that, what those cadaver dogs are going to use to find scent, is going to be really hard for them to pick up just because of environmental conditions that could have possibly happened.
Well, on that note, I've had several guys who go raccoon hunting and bear hunting, and it's done at night with dogs. And they've told me a couple of different ones, the bear hunters and the raccoon hunters, told me that when it rains, it seems like the dogs pick up better scent.
Never mind then, I'm an idiot.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that it's from days before. Maybe the, when an animal gets wet, it kind of amplifies their smell.
So maybe one of the two we've had tonight, though, this one has crazier details, but I feel like this one's more explainable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, this one has so many background details and so much that was known and figured out about the family that all of these different things can be based on that information. The first one with the surveyor, there's really nothing known.
That's crazy. Yeah.
What was it? 20-year-old kid? That would have said 20 years old, I think. Something like that. Yeah. Just boom, gone. I mean, this one, yeah, there's a lot of details. And you know, the body was, your bodies were actually found. So we know that something happened, that we know that they didn't step into a gate and just exit this reality. Something happened.
I'm saying something, drug deal gone bad. That's my guess.
What was it?
Drug deal gone bad in some form or fashion. I don't know exactly what that deal means, but I want to say that was somehow involved in this whole thing going on.
Well, you know, I'm kind of on the board with you because now that I think about it, if they had GPS maps, maybe it was a specific spot they were to meet these other people, and these other people were coming in from a different direction, and they didn't know where they parked. Maybe they did have fire gunshots. And then we're like, you know, we can't sit down here looking for their vehicle or whatever. They just take off with the drugs for free.
Yeah, I think that's the most logical explanation. But I've never, ever in my life been known to be logical. So with that,
portal.
I'm saying, no, Brian, not a portal this time. We've been over this.
And before you get into this, this could very, Ryan keeps kept going back to them taking the money. Maybe this was their second sale. Maybe they're this is their second meeting. They made $32,000 on the first set, and they were coming to make $32,000 on the second set that they had. And those guys wouldn't have known that, right? They would have had no idea they already made that money. They wouldn't know it was there.
Yep, good point.
That's true. It's possible.
These guys, we know they're obviously financially strapped and probably trying to do what they can to make money to, one, make money, and two, potentially maybe feed a habit. I know we said that didn't see any paraphernalia there, but there are other things that could have they needed to purchase as well.
No.
The opioids and things that they made, that he had chronic back pain. I mean, he could have very easily been an addiction there too that was causing financial hardship as well. I mean, who knows? But that's logical. We don't want to talk logical. What were you going to say, Justin?
Oh, yeah. Y'all quit talking logic. Let's dive into Justin's crazy corner. What we do know is in 1855, Colonel LaFleur sent a team of incredibly tall First Nation Native peoples against a group of Bigfoots. What's the plural for Bigfoot? Is it just Bigfoot?
Bigfoot.
I think we agreed on a gaggle.
Gaggle, yeah, a gaggle. A gaggle of Bigfeets. Okay. He led a charge against these because people in these villages and these townships were going missing. Okay. These people were going missing. And amongst these people were mostly women and children who were small and fragile. All right. So these Bigfoot that come in, they take these people based on a treaty that was broken between the natives and the Bigfoot. They come up to an area upon this charge. And this stench hits them, okay? And they see this mound of decomposed human remains, just fragments of body parts in a giant mound, all right? They see that. Colonel LaFleur sees that, sees the smell, sees these Bigfoot creatures in the tree line away, loses his mind, charges out, goes out in a blaze of glory. They rip his head off. The other big giant natives come in behind him. They track these Bigfoot down, and they killed all of them except for one, all that were there. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that this Bigfoot, you know, aged for forever. All I know, as Lance says over and over and over on this show, where there's smoke, there's fire. We have a county that borders the county that this disappearance of the Jameson family happened in, called LaFleur County, named after Colonel LaFleur, that this happened in the area that this happened in. So it was Bigfoot, or a group of Bigfoot, Big Feet. It was a gaggle of Big Feet. It's my theory.
It was LaFleur's ghost.
I don't know. LaFleur was a
crazy.
I think after him charging alone at these creatures and just firing every round of what he had in a mad freedom rampage.
It was probably more like, I immediately regret this.
I guarantee it, because they ripped his head off. According to the account. But that's what I'm going with.
Well, we can't prove you wrong.
It's very true.
Which means I'm right, in my own mind at least.
Until proven wrong, I guess technically you're right.
That's it. Well, guys, I think we've been going at this about an hour and a half now. This has been a lot of fun. It's two more cases that I think are super interesting. I mean, like we said at the start of this thing, people keep going missing and always have. And
we're going to try to solve it, unless it's one of us.
The other two,
we'll try to solve
it. Yeah.
Then we're definitely going to solve it.
Definitely going to try and solve it. We'll try really hard.
But I'm not going to be logical about it. I'm warning you right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be trying to open. I'm going. Well, I'm not even saying that.
We're going to be that James Franco movie where he's stuck in the rock. And he's going to be looking for
portals. Hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be out looking for portals. Like, Justin, seriously, up here. I know that portal's here somewhere.
I'm going to be doing some Crowley occult portal opening magic, trying to get in and get Ryan or Lance back out. Lance, I'm joking. I'm just kidding, man. It's a joke. I ain't messing with Crowley. Are you kidding me? I'd like to punch Crowley right in his face is what I'd like to do.
Heath, I don't think he had many, but I'd like to punch him in it.
I would like to just perform necromancy one last time so I could bring him back and punch him right in the face.
But wouldn't that make you as bad as him?
No, absolutely not. Nope. I'm not trying to talk to entities to gain power. I'm just trying to talk to Crowley so I can punch him in his face.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. Get on our level, Ryan.
Well, I mean, by bringing him back and punching him in his face, you would in turn gain power over him in doing so.
Here you go with your logic again. I'm so sick of your logic.
That's not how that works.
That's exactly how that works. He has the upper hand. He gets the satisfaction. And the other dude has to live with the shame of being punched in the face. You hold the power over him.
I got the power.
All right, guys. This has been fun. This has been a great one. Ryan, happy birthday, brother.
Happy anniversary. 07. So, but they don't know that. People don't know. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Forget that.
It doesn't even feel real now.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. No, I won't do that.
Yeah.
I'll save that for when we turn the recording off.
Okay. Yeah. Good idea. Guys, thanks for tuning in again. We love y'all. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you enjoy the content, please leave us a rating and review. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, all the things. It's all in the show notes. Send us your stories. AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. It's all in the intro, guys. It's all in the intro. It's all there. It's all in the show notes.
YouTube people, the next time I'll have my mic mounted the way that it's supposed to be. not just flopping around phallically through the hole.
Out here like Ricky Bobby, not knowing what to do with his hand.
Bring it up and bring it. I have that figured out for next time.
That's it.
Last minute edition. It sounds better, though.
It does. I like it. All right, guys, boys, that's episode 25. Episode 25. Ooh, completed, baby. Ooh. Let's do it. Let's go.
Here's 25 more, boys.
And then 25 more, and then 25 more, and then 25 more. And then we just keep doing 25s until there ain't no more 25s to do.
No, they're not 20s. They're 10s, but I keep them clean.
Folks, thanks for joining us again. We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. I don't know why you do it, but I'm glad that you do.
Oh, it stinks.
Share the show. We love y'all.
Thanks,
guys. Until next time, we'll see you guys later.